Over the first couple of Sherman Hill Chazichin, we were focused on the sugyas on Peyam and Beis and the dinim that flowed from that in the Shulchan Aruch. We focused on the din of that there is an Issur Yichud, and specifically the heter of Shomrim. Which Shomrim are valid and how many you need. A male Shomer versus a female Shomeris, and in one Shomer versus multiple Shomerim, Baderech, Balayla, focusing on those rules, Kosher versus Paretz, as well as more recently we were focused on the other major topic that's raised in the Mishnah on Peyam and Beis. We saw in this connection also the Gemara and Peyalf on Beis. That was the question when there's no Yisrichah at all, because the man and woman who are alone are related to each other, parents and children, siblings, grandparents, and grandchildren. Over the course of Pei Aleph, Amid Aleph, where we're going to pick up where we're up to, near the top of Pei Aleph, Amid Aleph, the Gemara is going to go on to get to several other key heterim in the world of Yichud. We're going to get to Bail of the Ear, which is very significant. We're going to get to Pesach Pasuach, which in many ways is even more significant. But first, before we get to those dinim, immediately where we're up to, right after the stories of Shomrim, the story of Yehuda, Rav and Yehuda, the Gemara has another memra of Rav, which sheds a lot of light on the concept of Yehud, both its limitations conceptually and its scope. Amar Rav! Here we are, right before where the Tosfos Bail of the Ear begins. The last word in the line is Amar with a little gimel parentheses. Amar Rav, Malkin al Yichud, Nein Osher al Yichud. You give Malkus for Yichud, but you don't make an Isser because of Yichud. What does that mean? Yichud is Osher. So Rashi explains, Malkin al Yichud means you give Malkus Marvus. If a man or woman did violate Yichud, they were secluded without any of the appropriate heter in place. There was no Bail of the Ear, there's no Pesach Pasuach, there was no Shomer, they're not related to each other in a way that's Matzah B'Yichud. If Reuven and Eliezer were alone in a forbidden fashion, so they get Malkus. They get Malkus. Rashi says Malkus Mardus. They don't get Malkus. Malkus Mardus is a form of Malkus Midrabanah. They don't get Malkus Min HaTorah, because Malkus Min HaTorah only applies to what sort of halacha? An Isser, which is not only an Isser Daraisa, obviously, but specifically written in the Torah explicitly and in negative language, a law, a losase. Torah says, do not do this. Torah says, do not eat chazir, and I ate chazir. Do not wear shatnas, and I wore shatnas. The Torah says, do not do malacha and yom tov, and I went ahead and did malacha and yom tov. That's a law. It's written in the Torah as a losase. Yichud is not, it is an Isser, something forbidden to do. And as we saw, according to most, if not all Rishonim, it is an Issa Daraisa, it's rooted in Psukim, which according to most of all Rishonim are a real Jerusha Gemur Min HaTorah. However, it's not written as a law. It's not the Feresh and Pasuk at all. And specifically, it's not written as do not. It was just an extra phrase, Benimo B'Seser, which implied that a mother and son can be alone, can be secluded, but not two other individuals. So it's not a law, it's not a Bepeirish HaPasuk that says do not. So as such, although it's according to most, if not all, Isser Daraisa, the Onesh is not Daraisa. The Onesh is Drabanan, it is an Isser. And we impose a Malkus Midrabanan called Malkus Marjus, as Rashi puts it. That's Malkin al Yichud. The Ein Osher al Yichud, we don't, not that Yichud is an Isser, we don't create an Isser as a result of Yichud. What sort of Isser would we create? Rashi says, Ein Osrin Eishas Ish, beginning of the narrow line, Ein Osrin Eishas Ish Al Ba'ala Mishum Machmas Yichud. You do not forbid a married couple to one another because of Yichud. What that means is the following. The Torah tells us in Parashas Naso, and perhaps also in Parashas Kisitzit, that if a couple is married, that brings in all sorts of benefits, privileges, relationship elevation. At the same time, at its core, obviously, marriage also imposes a new halachic prohibition, and that is a married woman is forbidden to be intimate with anyone other than her husband. no man, to put it the other way, a man cannot be intimate with a woman who's married to someone other than him. That's obviously, as you know, that is an incredibly severe aveira in the Aseret HaDibros, Losinah. Eshes Esh is absolutely Gila Rais Yahar Goyavar. There's no two ways about it. Let's say a man and woman violated the Isser Nir. A married woman was intimate with the Hadbiya, with someone other than her husband. So if there were Edim Hasra, so this is a capital case. If there are no Edim Hasra in advance, and no one's Chayav Misa, or if you live at a time when, like now, when the Bezin is not authorized to give Misa, there's no Chayav Misa, but there's another consequence as well, and that is, even if you just find that post facto, that there's no Hasra in advance, but you find that post facto, Edim discover that that this man and woman were having, if this married woman was having an affair with some other man, Rachmanel Etzlan, then not only is that a severe, severe, severe chet after the tshuva, to think about what the Mishkal tshuva is going to be, but there's also halachic consequences in the form of the husband and wife, because this married woman is no longer permitted to remain married to her husband, nor is she allowed to marry the boyfriend. She's asur labal, asur labo. And that's either in the case of Vadai, Eshes Esh Zimsa. We know that Edim discovered, Rachman Litzlan, that this affair is going on. So then we say, Asur Labal, Asur Labal. Or even the Torah tells in Parsha Nasa, the Parsha of the Sota. We don't know for sure that Znus occurred. So we have strong evidence that indicates that there's strong likelihood. What does that mean? So the Torah says, if a combination, the way the opening Mishnah Masechta Sotah explains it, is a combination of two elements. The woman, a married woman was alone with another man, Vinistra, that same language, Beseser, Vinistra, there was Stira, but it was preceded by, it was a Stira that followed Kina. Kina means that the husband had, in advance of this married woman secluding herself with another man, the husband already said to her, I suspect that something's going on between you and Shmerel, and you should not be alone with Shmerel. If a husband says that to his wife in front of Edom, there's a witness conversation, how sad that is, that conversation needs to happen, Mimanosha. Either it is indeed indicated, and how sad it is that that's where the relationship is at, or the husband is paranoid, and there's no basis for this, and Either scenario is an incredibly sad scenario. But either way, a husband in front of Aden says to his wife, I think there's hanky-panky going on between you and Shmerel. You should not be alone with Shmerel. That's Kina. If Kina is followed by Skira, subsequently, she is alone with Shmerel. So then we say she's a Sotas Safik. We don't know for sure that over the course of her Skira, her Yichu with Shmerel, that she indeed was Mazama. Maybe they were just spending time, they may have just drinking coffee together. We don't know for sure, or maybe just schmoozing. We don't know for sure, or worse, but not an actual act of znus. So we don't know for sure what was going on, but the combination of kinui and subsequently stira creates at least a raglayim ladar. There's reason to believe we have a real suffix that perhaps znus did occur. So she is asura to, she's a sota suffix. You consider her a suffix, eshes eshes and so. And he's suffix, she's asura laval, asura laval, unless we can prove. We can use a lab test to determine that in fact she was not Mazana. What type of lab test can determine that she was not Mazana? So the Torah says, a spiritual miraculous one-time Ramban points out the Torah promises an ace. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, have a whole procedure of the Mesota. If she drinks the Mesota and you get negative results, drink the Mesota and she doesn't expand, she doesn't blow up, then that's miraculous proof that in fact she Benixa. That in fact she was not, she violated Yichud, that was an Aveira, but she does not, she's not presumed to be Eshes Esh Shezimsa. But short of Mesota proof, if you have a situation, if Bizman is there, we have no Mesota, but we do have Sota. So, in a situation where a husband did indeed, even Bizman is there, in the year 2022, there is a similar Hilfa Sota, the end of Ebenezer. If a husband indeed, probably not the best decision to make, depends on the scenario. If a husband chose to be Makane his wife, to warn his wife in front of two Edom, then you should out history in Ishpone, don't be have steer with Shmerel, and then she goes ahead and does have steer with Shmerel, so then we consider her to be Eshes Esh Zimsa, Nisafer. Okay, now let's bring that back to our Gemara. Our Gemara said, Malkan al Yichud, the Ein Osher al Yichud. If Reuven and Aliza were alone together, the Isser, so then again, Reuven and Aliza will both get Malkan, trying to violate the Isser Yichud. But if Aliza is a married woman, she does not become Asura to her husband based on the Yichud, nor if her marriage with her husband ends, whether through divorce or through his decease, she is not forbidden to subsequently marry Reuven. There's no Isra Baal, no Isra Baal. Why not? Because there is Yichud, maybe it was Sphira, but there's no preceding Kinnun. There's no conversation beforehand. We just discovered that she violated Yichud. So what's the Gemara saying, now stepping back, big picture? Malka Yichud Ein Osra Yichud means, conceptually, that Yichud itself is an Aveira. So if Reuven and Eliza violate Yichud, they violated Aveira of Yichud. Yichud itself is an Aveira, probably Doraisa, at least at times. So they violated that. So the Gemara of Zara seems to say pretty clearly. Yichud, she's an Ishiz Ish or some other Erema. So it's a violation of Isra Yichud. And you get Malkus for a Yichud. You get Malkus for violating a din. So here's a din. You violate the din of Yichud. The Ein Osa Yichud means we don't assume that Znus necessarily occurred. It's true, as we've been discussing up until now, that Yichud is Asir because of the possibility of Znus, but it doesn't create a probability that Znus probably occurred. If there's a mere chance that Yichud, a small percentage of the time, Yichud will lead to Znus. So, before the event, are you allowed to have Yichud? No. Why? Because there's a, 2%, 5%, 7% chance that Yichud will lead to Znus. But post-facto, Yichud already occurred. Am I going to say, looking back, probably there were Mazar? No. Probably there were not. It was an Isra of Yichud, for sure. 100% certain they violated Isra of Yichud. But it's only a 2%, 5%, 7% chance that they violated Znus. So we're not going to look back and say, Mistama, probably Znus occurred. No. Probably Znus did not occur. Yichud did occur. There's a possibility that Yichud leads to Znus, but probably it did not. That's why Malkan al Yichud, the Ein Ostrin al Yichud. Then the Gemara gets into some more of the nitty gritty details. Rabbi Ashi says, even when you give Malkas lo amar el be Yichud penuya, you only give Malkas if the woman who had Yichud was single. Reuven Aliza violated Yichud. Aliza not married to anyone. Then we'll give Malkas to Reuven and to Aliza. However, Rabbi Ashi says, you have to play the long game. You have to think about how things, unintended consequences. If Aliza is a married woman, Aliza is married to Shimon, and she's misached with Reuven, we're not going to give her Malkus. Why not? And she says, Yichud Eishes Ish is more common than Yichud of Pinyin. It's Yichud with an Erba. So why aren't we giving Malkus? Because we have to think about what the consequences are. Right now, you're thinking, I'm going to give Malkus to Reuven Aliza, but it did not bear it. That's true. Now, how is it going to play out? If Aliza is a married woman, so it's entirely possible that she is already pregnant, legitimately from her husband, Shimon. Do we assume that if she gives birth in 8 months from now, should we assume that the children are Mamzer? No. In all likelihood, even though she violated Yichud, that was wrong, but we don't presume that probably she was Mazana of Ruvain. She's a married woman. She's married to Shimon. 8 months later, 9 months later, she has a baby. We'll assume the baby is a legitimate child of Shimon and his wife, Aliza. But people like to talk, and people like to assume the worst. And if we're going to publicize that this married woman, Aliza, was violated Yichud by giving her Malkus, so if she, 9 months from now, has a baby, we're throwing the baby with one of the children on the bus. People will be alive. There'll be rumors, unfounded rumors, that the children are Mamzeru. So that's what Rav Ashi was concerned about. You can't give Malkus, even though they did violate Yichud, you can't give Malkus if the woman involved is married because of the unintended consequences that the Malkus might have on any children she might give birth to. She may have just become pregnant, might be about to become pregnant from her husband, that we can't take that chance. The Gemara says, Marzutra Malki Machrus. Marzutra did give Malkus, but he would announce. The way Rashi understands, the Gemara points out the Rambam has a different approach, but Rashi understands Marzutra disagrees with Rashi. Give Malkus, even if the woman is married, and you make an announcement. Make an announcement. This Malkus is only because of the Yichud. We have no reason to believe that it's no statute Yichud. I'm there not in Parhatia, Rav Ashi. Not in Parhatia heard that Rav Ashi had a solution. She says, Rav Ashi, my nami lil kibalachris. Good idea. Why don't you do the same thing? Why are you so worried about Shalahoti Laz al Baneha in case she becomes pregnant? In case she has a child 9 months from now? Make an announcement. Communicate. So Rav Ashi said, respond. Communication is very important, but public communication has its limitations. What I'm really worried about is people don't always read the fine print. So we're going to give Malkus, and then we're going to make a clarification. Everyone should know that there's no evidence of Nusa, just evidence of Yichud. Rashi, that's very nice. But you know and I know that bad news travels far more broadly than good news. So everyone will hear about the salacious, the news about the Malkus. Not everyone who hears about the news about the Malkus must there hear all the clarifications, the qualifications. Oh, but it was just Yichud, it was his nose. Rashi says it's not safe. And you see throughout Shas, in our Masechta and Gittin in particular, the concern of Hotsoas Lav, there are all sorts of precautions that we take so as not to cast aspersions that the get wasn't kosher. Or not to do other things that might get, and the reason why we're so concerned with casting this person to get isn't kosher, if it really is kosher, is because she remarries based on this get, and she has children from the second husband. If the rumor is going around that her get from the first husband wasn't kosher, that means her children from the second husband are all mamzer. That is a terrible, terrible, terrible price. That's a terrible outcome. We try very, very, very hard to protect the good name of people who are. To protect the good Yichus name of people who indeed have good Yichus, we try our hardest to avoid causing aspersions of Mamzeris cast against people who are not Mamzeris. So it comes up in terms of Gittin. It comes up here, we're going to imply that the woman, if we're going to do something that may imply the woman had an affair when we don't know that she had an affair, that would be terrible. So Rashi said, I don't like Mazir's solution. Malkan al Yichud only for a Pnuya, not for an Eishes Tzitzis. So that's the first type of Malkas that we have here. Let's see another couple lines of Gemara, and then we'll circle back. The Gemara goes on to another type of Malkas. Amar Rav, Malkan al Otov, and we already saw, just to recap for a moment, we already saw from the Sugya of Malkan al Yichud details, but also major principles. Number one, Malkan al Yichud implies that Yichud itself is a forbidden act. It's not just don't do it because it's true that there's the background, the motivation for this is siyag, but yichud itself is aser. Even if we determine that no nus occurred, yichud itself was an iser, which calls for an onus shemal. Okay, yichud itself is aser because of the possibility of nus, but the same thing in osinal yichud, because that clarifies that the fact that yichud is aser doesn't mean that we assume that most of the time the most scenarios of Yichud lead to Znos. No, most scenarios of Yichud do not lead to Znos. Yichud is also because of the small myriad of cases, but significant enough, but small myriad of cases that lead to Znos. But once Yichud has occurred, we will treat it as a violation of Yichud, but not as a suspicion of Znos. The only time that there's a strong enough suffix of Znos that we treat as a real suffix deraisa is when it was not only Yichud, but it preceded by Kinnun, as by Esau. And then the Gemara also raises this important concern of Hotsoas Laz. And thinking of, in general, thinking about fraternity. And recognizing that Yichud situations could potentially lead to fraternity questions. The woman, when there is real suspicion the woman had an affair, and then she has a child, and the timing seems to line up with the time when the suspected affair occurred, then you are going to have real fraternity questions. Whose child is this? Is this the child of the woman's husband? Or is it a child of the woman's boyfriend? That's obviously a question with massive consequences, both in terms of Yerusha and who is his father, and in terms of his own personal status. Is he a kosher or a mamzer? Then the Gemara goes on to have another Malkus comment, which also implies a larger concept. Amar Rav, Rav Dalad, Malkan al lo tova ha-shemua. Now do we give Malkus when there was a discernible, definable violation event of Yichud, but lo tov, we could give malchus for lo tova hashemua, for bad rumors. For bad rumors. What does that mean? The Gemara quotes the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Mi amar al mi? Shene'emar al banai, ki lo tova hashemua. No, my son, the rumors are not good. Eli says to? Talking to Pinchas, his son. You may remember from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Eli was a Kohen Gadol, he was a holy tzaddik, his children were not holy tzaddikim. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol's sons were in a great place, sometimes they were not in a great place. But so throughout Sefer Shmuel, you have the recurring theme of leaders whose sons were not positioned, were not qualified to take on their father's mantle, beginning with Eli's sons who were taking terrible advantage of the Jews, and particularly the women, who came to the Mishnah. And so Al Banai, that's the Lashon Lo. Al is a Lo Saseh. Lo Tov, what's the Lo Saseh? Lo Tov HaShmua. It's not a bit, there are bad rumors going around about you. What does that mean? Is this because there are bad rumors going around, it doesn't mean I'm Chayiv Malkus. It means if I engage in behavior, there are definable behaviors that I did, which are resulting in rumors of adultery, since those behaviors themselves, whatever I did, we have no direct evidence of adultery. We have evidence of inappropriate behavior on part of the fellow. He's acting in a sketchy, inappropriate way. He's breaking boundaries in a way that's bad enough that's inspiring rumors of an affair. So that behavior already is malchus worthy. That behavior is itself punishable. So this raises in a very, very, very significant issue. It's either identical to or at least akin to something that comes up in Ksubas and elsewhere, and that is mechur hadavar. That sometimes, and specifically to act in a way that's sketchy, to act in a way that's inappropriate, is itself problematic. And that's what the Gemara, again, here's Malkin. Like Malkin Ayichud, it is also to act in an inappropriate way, and one of the shiurim of impropriety is such that it would generate rumors. So that's very important to when you think about Hilchos Yichud, when you think about different Yichud situations, you always need to figure out, can I drive with this girl alone? I'm going to give her a ride from Baltimore to New York. Is that a problem? Is not a problem? Other people in the car, not other people in the car, day, night, blah. So you need to think about that we're not yet ready to analyze that from a Hilchos Yichud perspective. We're going to have to get to the Sugya Pesach Pasuach. But you have to realize that question is really two sub-questions. One is this scenario a violation of Hilchos Yichud? Yes or no? If it's yes, so we have to remedy the situation, have to bring more people in, do whatever we have to do, or help her find a different ride. You have to cure the situation. But then even if you pass the first test, no, it's not technically a violation of Hilchos Yichud, because we have a shomer, because we have a window, whatever. The second question is, does it pass the sniff test? Is this appropriate? Does this not smell right? Is this sketchy, inappropriate, edgy behavior? Even though it's not technically a violation of Yichud, then maybe lo tova hashemua. Maybe it's mechur adam. So in order for a scenario to be permitted, you need to pass both tests. Number one, it has to not be a violation of Yichud. And number two, it has to not be a violation. Has to not be a violation of lo tova hashemua. It's dark. That might, there may be factors that may not be relevant to formal Hilchos Yichud, but could be relevant to assessing is it appropriate or not. The lights are on, the lights are off, you know, who's around, there may be cases where technically it's not Yichud, but the environment is such that it's inappropriate. Okay, I would love to take questions, if we can. I would love to look at Shulchan Aruch, but I think the background music indicates that we're going to kick off tomorrow with see how these demons, the questions of paternity, the questions of Yichud, the questions of consequences, what does Bezin do in the violation of Yichud? We're going to come back to the Ramah and Siv Beis and Mirz Hashem tomorrow, and we'll proceed to Baal Zeir and Pesach Hashem.
Okay, let's start.